grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for this morning is Paul's word to the Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 to 27. Maybe you've seen the number of TV commercials that Geico produced with a couple calmly sitting in the living room talking about Geico's golden car insurance bundle has made living in their home so much more enjoyable. Except for the animals growing up in their attic, or the clogging problems of dancers upstairs, or my very favorite, the angry birds just crash and smash into their patio doors and windows and flower pots. I had to laugh as I watched that one, and it occurred to me, though, that that's exactly what our society has now become. A flock of angry birds, like the original video game. You know, each time I look at the gas pump, or look at the price of meat at the grocery store, I feel this swelling anger. When I see a pro-choice sign promoting so-called right to kill an unborn child, that angers me. Then there's the unbridled rogue rage, or nurses having not aware of their problems and problems because of angry COVID cases, or airplane attendants being attacked, or frustrated seniors cutting in and out of the lines and freeways. There's been an exponential rise also in the primary in the number of murders in the city. Of course, in all of this, the worst one of all is the so-called slap heard around the world at the last Oscar ceremony. But speaking of Oscars, back in 1976, there was a movie that came out called Network. Do you remember that one? Peter Finch truly earned an Oscar for playing a crazy former TV anchor man. He captivated the airwaves with his angry rants about how the media has been manipulated to publish nothing new to their president. One of the more memorable lines in all of movie history. He urged his audience to open their windows wherever they're at, to stick out their head, and then to shout non-stop at the top of their voice, "I'm mad as hell, and I won't take it anymore." And so many people watching the film originally in the movie theater actually started shopping it inside the theater as well. And to be honest, though, aren't the times when even the leaders become so frustrated, so angry at the world around them, that we would make them up to vent that anger by opening the window and shouting out our frustration. Expressing anger is nothing new. But I really do today. It's not my imagination. It has an estimate. And it's not because Christians can be vaccinated and it's not going to be them. Well, if there is these flying feathers caused by our furious flock, the thing all runs to us is in challenging words in Jesus' form. In your anger, do not sin, and do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, thus giving the devil a foothold. This is a fascinating passage, because it implies several things. First of all, it means it's possible, if not courage for Christ's followers, to exercise a righteous anger that therefore would not be sinful anger. not winning the argument. It's not arguing the other person into submission. It's finding forgiveness. So there's no need for anger anymore. I realize that's not always easy. Consider this for a moment. When do you get most angry? Isn't it when you're criticized? Nearly 50 years ago, when I was arguing as a pastor, a mentor, quote unquote, a pastor means three things: the mind of the scholar, the heart of the child, and the eye of the rhinoceros. He knew the clergy also had fragile feelings. And he would get 99 positive cards, phone calls, and emails every day. And just one that's negative. Which do you think holds your mind? Gnaw on, grow angrier and angrier. Friends, it's important. It's important to not allow certain things to occupy more breakthrough real estate in your mind than is absolutely necessary. Otherwise, eventually there will be everything. Sometimes, like Jesus, you just have to take the dust off your sandals and then learn to move on. Because although it's often a kernel of truth in the criticism you receive, I think it's also true that most criticism often says more about the person doing the criticizing than it does about you. So how do believers prevent themselves from being drawn into the kind of healthy kind of danger? Well, on the other side, you tend to evolve into wrongful anger more easily. When you deplete your spiritual tanks, you allow them to run your energy. I'm talking about underutilized times where it should have been better reserved for being in a conversation for example with God, or maybe with some other brothers and sisters in Christ. Much needed time, for example, in worship, or in Bible study, or in personal prayer. Time that can calm the soul, clear the mind, and most importantly, there was room for personal communication with others as we can be angry first of us. Thanks to pandemics, inconsistent mandates, and isolation, and job and family stress, and rampant inflation, etc., we truly are living in the midst of an angry society. It's not an imagination, it's not some wacko idea that seems public concern. Nevertheless, what's going on around us still does not give God's people an excuse to be bad or a license to unleash our wrongful anger willy-nilly, or to abandon our responsibility to control our emotions, even in an age of rage. What concerns me is when that kind of unarrangement human nature is exhibited by Christians. And don't think it doesn't happen. It's an impact role to witness and the reputation of the whole Christian community on our secular society, which I think is always watching us, and always going to criticize us in order for them to feel better about their own behavior. We're going to go a little excursus here for a moment, so please bear with me, because it's something that I think often this case goes under our spiritual radar as believers. It rarely gets discussed, it should be. So why is it that even we Christians today seem to be struggling with our anger more than ever before? To get the rest of society, like, well, that's not so. Whatever happened to that good old peace that passes all understanding that we supposedly be blessed with? Well, I think it's because we're not having enough discussion about something called orthodoxy, and about what it truly means to follow yet, they are very much still out of control when it comes to their emotions. The most powerful of which is anger. And how we handle anger is not independent of the rest of our spiritual life. The opposite of anger, of course, is restraint. Purposeful, intentional restraint. And even if you're praying, yes. Irishman who just can't help it, God still expects you to get a biblical handle on what is properly to handle anger so that you can spiritually mature in your relationship with the Lord and with your fellow human beings. Fortunately, unfortunately, rather, too many of us believers are oblivious to that. Or we choose to act that that's not something that we can have to pay much attention to. It's as if we assume that we can control our feelings, but that's just or we can't really control our feelings because that's just a natural part of who we are, and well, that's who we are, and we can't do anything about that. I'm just an emotional person, so I can help if I act this way. Can't control my temper. We make this perfect equation. You can't help having feelings. Feelings simply are. But as a believer, you're still responsible for what you do with your feelings. Emotions also are a matter of spiritual discipline. And through grace, you can be assured the Holy Spirit has equipped you to deal with that. On the other hand, righteous anger is when you respond appropriately to something. In fact, you're not doing or responding to sin. In and of itself, will be a sin. Therefore, it's right to feel anger when you see all that film of carnage taking place in Ukraine. It's only right to be angry when you hear about a child being abused or molested or shot. It's just as righteous in anger as what Jesus himself felt in the temple courtyard as he watched corrupt merchants cheating God's people who come there in order to sacrifice and his worship. So, we need this to separate righteous anger from just being an angry person. You see, we have an increasing number of members of the Christian community who might well be characterized as Christians behaving badly. And we simply assume that whatever anger they unleash, even these men among their brothers and sisters, in whatever form they unleash it, well, that has to be considered righteous. They wouldn't even entertain the possibility of being strong as a sin. Even though wrath, if you remember this, is listed as one of the so-called devils of sin. Of course, isn't that the way sin works? And I say that with personal experience as a sinner. The more you sin into particular areas, the duller your sense of conviction becomes. You lose feeling in that area. That's kind of a mental demon that's giving a shot of opening in that area of your life. Somehow qualifying your spiritually bad behavior filled with a bad mind, transforming you into this crusader to some purportedly noble cause. But if you don't listen to the Holy Spirit's conviction in a certain area of my life, if we become desensitized to it, we tend then to do the opposite. We formulate spiritual rationalization for the pursuit of doing it again and again. Theologians also talk about two categories of what they refer to as actual sins. There are the sins of the flesh, and then there are the sins of the spirit. What we tend to think about most often, of course, is that first category of sins of the flesh. So we really should be focusing more on the latter, the more subtle, the sins. Spirit. in unhealthy ways. Take some time